Hey, this morning, I'm going to start this way every time, just so you know, as a church, when I request for you to get your Bibles out or turn your smart devices on, I want our church to be a church that has a culture and a DNA of Bible reading and Bible teaching and loving the Word of God. And if you're here this morning and you do not have a Bible, or maybe it's a financial burden to you, I have a whole table of them. And we're going to have them here every Sunday. So if you bring a guest and they don't have a Bible, I will give them a Bible. We'll sign it and you can sign it and all that kind of great stuff. But we really want people to have the Word of God. It's very, very important when we come to church that we open it together and we wrestle through it together. You mark it all up and all that kind of great stuff. So we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. And let me just pause for a moment and pray over us this morning. God, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for the authority that it has in our lives. God, as we open it and wrestle through it together, would you speak so clearly as you always do? We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. God, if there's any walls or any separation from you and your truth, would those come down right now in Jesus' name? Amen. So, Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. This is a story. As I've been reading through Matthew, I've just been journeying, doing my devotions in the book of Matthew, and I came across this. And has this ever happened to you where you know the story? You went to Sunday school, you know, you've seen the little video clip or something, but when you read it, it's almost like it's fresh. You're like, oh, I never saw that before. And this morning, I want to share one of those thoughts that I had with you. I said, wow, I just never saw it in that light before. So we'll get there at some point in my message, but I need to lay a foundation before I make that point. So when we look here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37, it says, then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. Now, what does Gethsemane mean and represent? Sometimes for me, I just kind of power read through things, and I'd have to slow down sometimes and realize, what is that? Where is that? And if we were to read in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. So we know that this place, this Gethsemane place, is just outside of Jerusalem. It's part of the Mount of Olives. And in Luke, when I read that, it was Luke's perspective. You know, we're reading Matthew's perspective. We're going to look at Mark's perspective. It's like the church at the park. If I asked you, how was the church at the park? Each one of us will have a different perspective. It's all the same event, but just a different perspective. So we're looking at the perspective from Matthew. So we know that it's the Mount of Olives. So what is that, and why is it significant? If we look at when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem for basically the last time, he comes to the Mount of Olives, he sees Jerusalem. It says in Luke chapter 19, it says that he wept over Jerusalem. He saw it, and he wept over it on this mount. It's a very significant place. We see that in Acts chapter 1, that Jesus ascended. When Jesus went off into heaven, it was on the Mount of Olives. We see that there. Jesus starts his ministry in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very important place. And he ends his ministry here in Matthew chapter 26 at the foot of this place. This is a very significant place. It is said that at that place in Gethsemane that there is probably an oil, an olive mill, kind of like a wine press. So they would take all the olives and they would make it into oil. And we know, and we've talked about it in the Old Testament, the wine press is a foreshadow, it's a reference, it's an image, a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit, right? And as we see Jesus here weeping out to God at the bottom of this mount, that he's in a sense being pressed for you and I, so that fresh oil can come for you and I, fresh anointing, so the Holy Spirit is going to come, we're going to read in chapters later. It is a beautiful example of our God. All these types and shadows are so important to us. Let's continue to read the story. In verse 36, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. So you imagine again, okay, it's Jesus has got his disciples and maybe some others with him. He brings them to this place. Then he says, okay, you guys wait here. I'm taking the top three guys with me. I've got John and the brothers of Zebedee. You've got Peter and James. So the three of them are now here. So, you know, those guys, you've got the three. You're thinking, oh, the three, right? If you're Peter, John, and James, you're like, yeah. You know, he's picking us to go over here with him. And then he says, you three wait here because I'm going to go and pray. Just keep that thought in mind. Keep that imagery in mind of how there's some separation here. So stay here while I go and pray. And he took Peter and those individuals. So if you can remember in the book of Luke, when we think about the Mount of Transfiguration, so Jesus has another time when he did something very similar. We see in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, it says this. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James, again the brothers of Zebedee, with him and went up onto a mount to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So in that same setting, Jesus takes the three. Now you're thinking the three, right? If you're the disciples or if you're hanging around with Jesus' ministry, you're thinking like, those three get special favor around here all the time. Every time Jesus, you know, taking those three. And those three are probably like, yes, we are the good three. You know, the three amigos, the three posse, whatever you want to say, right? It's the three. And let's watch the standard for those three because it's so, so important for us. So again, just pause on that thought just for a second. Let's continue to read verse 37 and 38. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So Jesus leaves the three, thinking, okay, the three, you know, they may have gone here before with them, right? You're thinking, okay, you know, we know this routine. We know this kind of situation. You know, we go with Jesus, and Jesus says, wait here. He goes off and prays, and he comes back. And, you know, we go to church, and there's, you know, there's worship, and there's a message, and there's prayer time. I go through my life, and there's this routine that's happening here that we see time and time again in the Word of God. It also says here, to kind of shed light more on that, when Jesus faced that hour, what was going through his mind? What was he facing? And in John chapter 12, verse 27, it says this, now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? We just read there that his soul was overwhelmed to the point of death. His heart is troubled. Father, save me from this hour is a question Jesus is asking. And it says this, look how profound this is. I'm in trouble. I need help. And then he says, no! The very next word is no! It was for this very reason I came for this hour, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of struggle. Isn't that an absolute different perspective? I know when I face trouble and struggles, I was watching tennis yesterday, and there was the semifinals. Thank you for being here this morning, because the finals are on right now. I recorded it, so I'm good to go. But these ladies were like, wanting to smash their racket, they got into a thought in their head that was negative. They were like, I can't even hit a good shot here. Negative, negative, trouble, struggle. That's all they could think about. Ruin their game. You know, they weren't even playing well. They had to come out. Coaches comes out. Coach gives them a shake. Get it together. You know, like, you're never going to win if you can't get your mind right. You can't get in the right headspace. And isn't this like our God right here? He's facing the most difficult situation you've ever faced in life. You can trust God with it because he says no to that problem. And gets a different perspective, doesn't he? So good. It was for this very reason. That is a tough pill to swallow sometimes. When you're facing difficulties and struggles, we read in the Bible, we see these struggles. We've heard about them in our own lives. We may have experienced them in our own lives. You know what? And I will be gentle when I'm going to walk out here just for a second. You know, let me make it clear. Can God heal you? Yes. Can God take away whatever you're facing, any struggles or any troubles? Yes. Is God amazing and can he do wonderful things? Yes. But what happens when he doesn't? How do you face that? When you go to your God and you pray to God and you cry out, you get on your knees to God, and the thing does not go away. The struggle and the trouble that you face doesn't disappear. How do you respond? And we look at our God and we say, praise the Lord that we've got a God that has the right perspective on that situation. Even though it's difficult, isn't it? That's a difficult pill to swallow some days. And you're thinking, why is it not changing? What is going on? And we can cry out to God and we can see God and we see his goodness and his grace and his mercy. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says this. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Again, this is through Luke's perspective of this situation. He sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground. Have you faced a situation where you're in such agony and struggle and pain that it's brought you to your knees and you almost feel like you're sweating out blood? Like it's just, there's so much pressure, there's so much pain about it that it drives you to your knees. And this is the perspective that we get from God. It's difficult. He's facing a difficult situation. Let's continue to read. There's hope, I promise you. I know we're talking about it. Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father. Now that is a very important word right there. Every single chapter, every book, every letter, every the and a, it has significant value. It wasn't just thrown together by accident. So when I read that, it says, my Father. Jesus is facing the most difficult thing, way greater than you and I are going to face. He's getting nailed to a cross. He's about to get beat up and spit on and kicked around. I don't know what you faced. I faced some tough things, but compared to that, compared to the cross, compared to the weight of all the sin of the world, not even close to what he's facing. And in the midst of all that trouble and struggle, and it's almost like a cloud over him, he says, my Father! He cries out to his Father. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful to see that in the midst of everything we are facing, we can just cry out to God. And God's right there. He's not far away. It says here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. When have we prayed loud cries and tears about our situation? Whoa. Praise God. That sounds like fun, right? Like when we just get in the presence of our God and we can just cry. We can even say, God, I don't get it. You can say that to him. And we get on our knees, we cry out to God. It just doesn't make sense, God. Do we turn to God that way? Do we go about our days and our struggles and the things that we're facing? There was this lady that came after the church in the park. We were just walking and I didn't know where I was going, maybe Dairy Queen or something. I was just going down the street, and this lady just, I don't know this lady, and she just came up, we were just chatting, and all of a sudden, I could just see the pain in her. As she was just sharing, she's just fighting back tears, as she's just trying to talk to me. And I said, I don't know what's going on, but can I just pray for you right now? And we just cried, and we just prayed, we just asked God for help. This lady needed help. And do we turn to God like that? Do we just say, God, I have no other answer. I can't talk my way out of this problem. I need your help here. So it says, the very last point of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says this. So he prayed loud cries and tears to the one that could save him from death. Watch what it says here. And he was heard. He was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus' prayers and petitions are heard because of reverent submission. What does that mean? Those are some big words in my mind. This is what it says, Wikipedia, you know, Google, whatever you want to say. When you have great awe and respect for someone or something, and you show it by respectfully worshiping that person. That's what it says in there. Adoring, loving, and devoted to. So when we come to our God, do we come to him that way, that we adore him above everything else? that we respect him above anything else that we've ever read or heard on the planet? Do we devote ourselves to him like that? Because in the world, before I was saved, this is what the world has to offer, and these are good things. Don't downplay this. You know, if you're sick and you get hurt, you go to the hospital. You just saw a fire truck go by. If there's a fire, you phone the fire department. If there's a problem, you can get a massage. Man, I like those, are good, eh? If you have a problem, you can get a massage, right? You can go see the chiropractor. You can go get counseling. All of these things are good things, and they're offered to society. But what is the one thing that you and I have that people of the world don't have? It's our God, my Father. And do we come to him first? You can have all those other things. Those are good things. But do we cry out to God first? My Father, this situation I'm facing. I don't want to talk about it with people. I don't want to watch a video about it. I don't want to read it in a book. I want to bring it into your presence. In case you didn't notice that I'm suffering over here, God. Right? You come with that kind of perspective. If it's possible, take this away from me. That's what Jesus even said himself. But let's continue to read here. Let me give you just one more perspective here, just while we're on this topic, and then we'll continue. So Matthew chapter 1, verses 35 and 37. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I'm not saying this is the only way to pray, but this is a pretty good example of one. He left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone's looking for you." See, when we go off to spend time with our God, we can even schedule it into our lives. That's a good thing. You've got a day, you've got an hour, we've got all this. You know, I've got four kids, and they've got activities, and I'm preaching at another church, and then I'm preaching at this church. We can just have all the excuses in the world why we're too busy for that. But when you find time every day to spend with God, make sure it is carved out, and it's a solitary place. Take your phone and throw it in the toilet. You know, whatever you need, wherever you need to go to be quiet, find that place and make sure somebody knows about it. Say to, you know, the person in the house, like, you know, it's your spouse or your kids, just be quiet for 30 minutes. You know, like, whatever you got to say to them, like, just give me, a, you know, a couple minutes here, guys, for crying out loud. Like, I just gave you 8 hours of my whole life. You know, I gave you my whole paycheck, you know, on and on. And, you know, here we go, sorry. And pick up the clothes. How many times I got to say this, you know? But anyways, when you get alone with God, carve it out. And don't let anything interrupt you. Don't let things distract you. Whatever's going on in the world, it'll come back. They're not going to miss you for 30 minutes. And I, you know, my wife said something very, very helpful to me. My wife, Amelie, we say this often, like, bring a little notepad or something. Just if a thought comes in your head, I got to bake cookies later, then just write that down and get it out of your head. So you can just focus. You can be submissive to your God. Don't think about other things. Think about God. Who is God and what is he to you? It's very important. Let's continue the story, verse 39. If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet if not, as I will, but as you will. If it's possible, God. This is the point I want to get to in just a moment. This is where I read this, and it just put the e-brake on me. You know, okay, whoa, what is he saying here? If it's possible. If it's possible, as we've been talking about this morning, please take this away from me. Just hold that thought just for 1 second. Let's continue reading. Verse 40. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I guarantee you, Jesus knew that that was going to happen because of this very verse. In Luke chapter 9, when they went up the mount, we read a part of it, Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, he picks the three, Peter, John, and James. He says, okay, guys, the top three dogs, you know, woohoo, the top three amigos, and like the number one guys, the guys got A+ on the test and look good and sharp, you know, whatever, clean cut. You three are coming with me, right? And then they, you know, Jesus, you know, the transfiguration, beautiful situation. It says this, watch the requirements to be the top three. Peter and his companions were very sleepy. What? Like the best of the best. I almost spilt that. I better drink a little bit of that. The best of the best. We're sleepy. Is this just a routine for them? Oh, we always get picked. We're the top three, you know. We always hang around Jesus. Okay, Jesus, see you in five. You know, like, is that what goes on there? So for you and I, you know, I just wrestle with this thought. Man, I don't want to be sleepy. I don't want to miss out on what God has. I don't want to look for answers any other place but with my God. I pray he doesn't find us sleepy. We need to have time with our God. We need to spend time with our God. We need to get into the presence of God. It's so, so vital. Watch, this is the part that just floored me when I read this. Matthew 26, verse 42. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Do you see the very first thing? I mean, this is Jesus. This is the triune Godhead. And he says, if it's possible, please take it away. The very next thought he has, if it's not possible. Do you see that radical change? It's written there for you and I for a reason. That is such good news. You can come to God with maybe not the right perspective or the right thought about your troubles and your struggles, but when you walk away, I guarantee it, that you will walk away with a right attitude and a right spirit and a right thought about what you face. Amen? So good to see that, eh? Oh, that just jumped on me. I was like, oh, that's brilliant. So we said some other things because we got to make a message out of it, but that's the point right there. Think about, okay, so Jesus facing the cross. That's difficult. You know, let's look at some other characters in the Bible. Job. Whoa. Loses everything, loses his family, loses everything. Here's what he says, Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Now, this guy's getting serious about whatever's going on, eh? I see some guys with new haircuts, but shaving your head? Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, do you see that? Job turned to God in every difficult situation, even though he had lost everything. He turned to God and he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What a great perspective on his situation, eh? It makes my situation and my struggles look pretty small in light of those two characters. That's a challenge for me. Sometimes I go to pray to almost maybe prevent or try and remove my problems and my afflictions. But it gives us a right perspective when we see these kind of stories. As we spend time in prayer, we begin to understand God's big picture, God's big plan, where we fit into that story. It's very, very important to find that. So let's continue reading. Matthew chapter 26, verse 43 says, when he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with these guys, right? Jesus even comes back like three times and says, stop sleeping. You know, wake up. You know, get in order. And they're always sleeping. They're always just kind of falling down in the scene. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32 and 33, it says this. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task. There's like a sermon in this whole thought, but let me just get to the end. And tells the one at the door to keep watch. This is almost like what he gave to his disciples. Keep watch. Keep on guard. Keep there. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, stay watch, stay awake, stay on point. Don't become like, it's hard to say that, don't become like the disciples. They're great guys, they're walking around with Jesus, but don't just let routine happen in life. This is a God, a heavenly Father. You want to spend time. You want to be devoted to him. You want to submit to God. And these are the ways that we do as Christians, as Christianity. It says here, let's continue to read verse 44. It says, so he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. So he said this again, if it's not possible, if it isn't possible, I know I have to face this, but just help me to face it and to face it well. When we see that happen three times in the Bible, if we read any story, like any good parent has to tell their kids three times to do anything, you know, that's just reality. And hopefully nobody's here looking at your spouse saying, you know, how many times I got to ask you to do that kind of thing? Like, let's be gentle with each other. Let's love each other. Let's blame the kids. Always the kids' fault, right? But when we see it three times, it's very important to understand that God is trying to get our attention. When we see it like that, biblically it represents divine wholeness, completion, perfection. If there ever was a desire to highlight an idea, thought, event, or noteworthy figure in the Bible, or a divine stamp of completion or fulfillment on that subject, it showed up three times. So when we see here God praying like this, it's a completion and a perfection that God is doing in that moment when he's spending time with his God, with his heavenly Father, sorry. It is so, so important that we see that. And we see that the change in his thoughts and the change in his words as he spends time with God. It's just brilliant when you read things three times. Let's look at another story. We use three this morning. We'll think of Jonah. You know, that guy had it bad someday, right? You know, he's in the belly of a whale. Like, that's a bad day. I don't know what kind of troubles you have, but like, I haven't had a salmon swallow me or whatever we see around here, right? Like, this is not going good. Like, struggling? Like, I'm in a whale. Like, things are, you know, lights out. With all these fish and these other things around in here with me. This is nuts. I'm watch what he says from within the whale. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. In the midst of a whale. You can't see the temple. All you can see is, like, guts and stuff. But even in that struggle, he sees God in his temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped all around my head. All image of like just weight and, you know, struggles and troubles. All of this perspective. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. There's no back door. Like it's going downhill fast. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. What kind of perspective is that from a whale's belly? Like, I don't even think that would be possible. I would be like, okay, where's my pocket knife? I got to cut my way out of this thing, right? I'm not going to pray to God. I'm like taking the actions into my own hands here, you know? I'm going to, you know, whatever it would take, right? So, you know, Jonah's perspective, that's three great perspectives. Let's finish the story now. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 45 and 46. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping? This is the third time. Oh, that's bad. Look at the hours near. I mean, I say that's bad. I'm thinking, I would probably do the same thing. It's late. I'm exhausted. We've been hanging around with you all day. But look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go and face our betrayer, because here he comes. Let's go face trouble. We've had all this time in prayer. Watch this. This is so good. We've had all this time with my God. There's crying, almost blood, you know. There's all this pressure. And now let's go face our struggles and our troubles. Watch what happens here from John's perspective in John chapter 18, verse 6. When Jesus said, you know, they're looking for him. I'm here. They drew back and fell to the ground. Do you see that? The troubles and the struggles that Jesus was about to face fell down to the ground. Oh, praise God. When you have time with your heavenly Father, you get the right perspective. You come out, and now this is my own personal opinion right now. Don't, this is not biblical. But think about this. Jesus comes out and just by accident lets a little bit of Jesus out. Boom, everybody falls down. Oh, so sorry, you know, a little bit too soon for, you know, I got to go to the cross still, right? You guys get up, come on, arrest me, hurry up, get me out of here, right? Because Jesus has so much authority. But for our perspective, that was trouble, that was the struggle. And Jesus came and faced it, and they fell to the ground. You know, they didn't come. The trouble and struggle didn't come around, and Jesus was like, hi, I'm over here, you know. He wasn't afraid to face his troubles. He said, let's go get them. Let's go find them. He goes, here they come. And how do we face that when our troubles and our struggles come? Do we kind of sheep back and get care? You know, let's just get sleepy on the job. Or do we say, let's go to our God and let's face them head on and watch them fall down in front of us? Oh, yes. Praise God, eh? That is wonderful news. Because when we spend time in our intense prayer time and we look at our struggles and our troubles, they fall down. Or we can have the sleepy, dopey disciple perspective and just not face those kind of things and get tired and try and take it into our own hands. You remember the disciple, I'm going to give me a sword, I'm going to cut these guys up, right? Cut his ear up, right? Remember that part of the story from a different perspective. He was trying to take it into his own hands. But if we take it into God's hands, every struggle and every trouble, it's going to just fall away. It's going to go away. John chapter 16, verse 33, it says this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Oh, praise God. When I'm in struggle and pain, that's what I'm looking for. What else do you need? I need peace. I need to be able to sleep. I need to not be stressed out. I don't want high, you know, blood pressure. I don't want all that stuff. I need peace in that situation. God said all these so that we may have peace. Because in this world you will have not if or maybe, in this world you will have trouble. Thanks. Great news. I'll just take that part out of the Bible. You know, we don't want to hear that. But take heart, because I've overcome that. Take heart, when you spend time with Jesus, your problems will fall away, they'll go away. Oh, that's brilliant news, isn't it? I want to close with just one final thought here this morning, and we'll date myself a little bit. When I grew up as a kid, in Prince Rupert, actually, that's great to know, I know my last name's Young, but I'm actually quite older than you think I am, and I had a black and white TV, okay? That dates me. It was as big as my foot. It was 12 inches across. Like, it was massive for that time. 12 inches, black and white TV. Every Saturday morning, you know, we'd just, and then, you know, cartoons was on. I think there was probably only one channel back then, too. You know, one channel. Everything else is just, right? Rabbit ears, all that kind of stuff. So Saturday morning, turn the tube on, and, you know, my favorite show, for whatever reason, was The Smurfs, okay? So there's the Smurfs, and there's these mushrooms and all that kind of stuff. And I just remember watching that going, this is great. Saturday morning, you know, you got your jammies on. You know, mom's bringing you eggs and the, you know, whatever, and you're just relaxing, maybe a bowl of cereal, and you're just enjoying yourself. And then all of a sudden, we went to a friend's house who had the biggest TV around, 14 inches. And it was in color. Okay, we didn't have the paraphernalia like the backpacks and the lunch kits and the, you know, whatever, so I didn't know that the Smurfs were blue. I didn't know that. And I sat there, I was like, wow, look at that. That's brilliant. Closing thought about the Smurfs, that's crazy. Let me, you know, bring it back to something good. Hey, you know about prayer. You've got all kinds of books that have been written about prayer. You even have Right Now Media. We'll provide that for you. You can watch all kinds of curriculums about prayer. You even heard it this morning, me speak about prayer. But what kind of a perspective do you have on prayer? Are you like me for so many years, like a sleepy disciple, just barely praying at all? You know, whenever there was trouble, that's when I would pray. I wouldn't pray outside of that. Or like what I saw in that moment, just like my eyes were illuminated to something I'd never seen before. When you come to prayer, let's desire that. Let's go there with that perspective. Like, God, I need to see it in a different way, God. Show it to me, Lord. And we cry out to God with tears and on our knees and in quiet time and quiet spaces because we're looking for a new perspective. We want a different outcome. And we want to be filled up with the Spirit of God so we have authority over our situations. We're going to find that in prayer alone. So as a church, let's love our Bible. Let's bring these things. Let's find time to pray every day. Let's be let's get those foundational things right and do them well as a church The rest of the things will figure themselves out. But if we can't figure out how to come to our God and to pray, because it's for free, it doesn't cost you anything, it costs you a little bit of time. It's the best thing that money could ever buy. It's the best thing you could ever spend any time on is right here and on your knees. You're going to get a good perspective. God loves you. Whatever you're facing, you're going to find answers. And just come, you know, we'll pray with you. The church is here all the time. Pastor Rachel and I are here. This is what we do day in and day out. Find that place. And whatever you need to help, you need Bibles, you need resources, you need, you know, knee pads to get on your knees or whatever it looks like, we're going to make sure that you have those things. Amen? Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Let's invite the worship team up this morning. Father, this morning we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your presence that's here. We're so thankful and honored that you would just even reveal Jesus' heart to us so we could learn from that, God. Thank you so much, Lord. We want to honor you in everything that we do. May we be a blessing today. May we find space and time for you today and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.